I welcome you to this moment around God's Word in prayer again today. We're with Israel as they're just about to cross into the Promised Land after 40 years of wandering in the wilderness. And based on what we're going to be looking at today, I'd like to say to you with all the authority of God's Word that the challenges you're confronting today are not signs that God does not love you. Neither are they signs that He's forgotten your name or lost your address or just doesn't care. But everything worth value, everything worth a true victory in our life always requires overcoming an obstacle. And everything that involves God revealing Himself in new ways to us will always involve God's help in overcoming obstacles in our lives. In verse 9 of Joshua chapter 3, Joshua said to the Israelites, "Come here and listen to the words of the Lord your God. This is how you will know that the living God is among you, and that He will certainly drive out before you the Canaanites, Hittites, Hivites, Perizzites, Girgashites, Amorites, Jebusites," and I like to throw in mosquito bites. That's a lot of ites. Every one of those ites represent the resistance that they're going to encounter when they actually step into God's promise for them. They're actually going to step in to the promised land. And they're going to meet these areas of resistance. But he's saying, "I am going to show you that I truly am the Lord." That resistance does not mean I don't love you, but it is an opportunity for victory in your life that's going to mature you, a victory that really is worth something because of how God revealed Himself to you. But there's not only enemies in the Promised Land, but there was right now a river separating them from the Promised Land. This was the Jordan River. Dan means down from Dan. Dan was the northernmost tribe in Israel. And from the headwaters of this river through the Sea of Galilee, out the other side of the Sea of Galilee, going south, down towards the Dead Sea. And somewhere between the Sea of Galilee in the north and the Dead Sea in the south, the Jordan River was here. Israel was on the east side in the present-day country of Jordan, and the Promised Land was on the west side of that Jordan River. On the west side were all these ite nations, but also they had to cross this barrier of water. So verse 11 of Joshua 3, "See, the ark of the covenant of the Lord of all the earth will go into the Jordan ahead of you. And as soon as the priests who carry the ark of the Lord of all the earth, set foot in the Jordan, its waters flowing downstream will be cut off and stand up in a heap." So the priests are going to take the ark of the covenant and they're going to start wading into the river. And when that happens, the downstream flow from north to south is going to be stopped and the water is going to start piling up. Verse 17, "And the priests who carried the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord stopped in the middle of the Jordan, and they actually stood on dry ground when this actually happened, while all Israel passed by until the whole nation had completed the crossing on dry ground." Now, does that remind you of anything? Well, we hit the rewind button of history by 40 years when Israel was just being delivered out of slavery in Egypt. They were facing a Red Sea. What did God do? He parted the Red Sea and they crossed over on dry land. Now, this wasn't as large a body of water. This was just a river. But God did the same miraculous thing. It's just as miraculous. God stopped the flow of a river and dried up the ground so that Israel could pass over. In fact, Joshua does not want them to miss that connection. So in verse 23, he said of Joshua 4, "For the Lord your God dried up the Jordan before you until you had crossed over. And the Lord your God did to the Jordan what he had done to the Red Sea 40 years earlier, when he dried it up before us until we had crossed over. He did this." Why? And here's the important point. "He did this so that all the peoples of the earth might know that the hand of the Lord is powerful, so that you might always fear the Lord your God." Our God wants our world to know that He's powerful. Our God wants us to hold Him in awe and reverence, not in carelessness, in, in the lack of the fear of God. He wants to show himself mighty and great. And in this parting of the water, it happens twice, once from slavery into freedom, and the next from freedom into inheritance and promise. And that's a wonderful picture of our future. May God just part the waters for you again, wherever you need it today. May dry up the ground under your feet, whereas normally you'd be facing impossibilities. God, do this in my life. God, do this in all our lives. I believe this is the day. I believe God wants to pour out his Spirit. I believe he wants us believing for those greater things that he can do than we've maybe ever seen. Or for God to do it again. Maybe it's been 40 years since you really had a dramatic encounter with the Lord. But even 40 years later, you can have another one. Just like these two partings of the water were 40 years apart. God's not confined by time. The God who's been mighty in your past can be mighty in your future. So Lord, we thank you for this. As we just land on this moment and see this parting of the waters a second time, we thank you that you are mighty. We honor you. Our faith doesn't focus on all of the barriers in our lives, but our faith focuses on your greatness. And we pray you'll do it again in our lives. Things you've done in the past, do them again, Lord. You who can part the waters, do the impossible in our lives today, I pray. We trust you. We thank you. Help us to keep praising you for what you have done in the past in our lives so that we can keep our faith strong for what you will do in the future, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.